Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. This is Joe Scott. I'm here on a freezing Colorado day with one of my favorite people as my co-host, Jason Troyer.
Now, you know, the only reason I'm here is because I had to chauffeur you down because you didn't want to drive in these wintry conditions.
Well, that's sort of true. But not completely, Jason, you know it.
And since I had to sit here for a half hour and wait for the show to be done, I figured I might as well be on the show. But the show is all yours, so what do you want to talk about today?
Well, after you twisted my arm, made me let you sit there. Well, actually, I've got a lot to talk about, but first I want to talk about what we did together last Monday. It was a blast.
All right, more driving.
More driving, and you did it.
That's right.
We were protesting the protest of President Bush at the Brown Palace in downtown Denver.
So President Bush came to do a fundraiser for Marilyn Musgrave, and the anti-war protesters came out in force, several hundred, if not over 1,000 people. They were everywhere. We're downtown protesting the war, protesting the deaths of innocent people. So we thought, great, if they're there to protest the deaths of innocent people, we have an issue for them. Let's talk about abortion. Because in the years that we've been in Iraq and fighting for freedom in Iraq, about 2,000 American soldiers have died, and of course, that's a tragedy, and that's their big push, is we don't want innocent people to die. Well, in the day that we were down there, about 4,000 Americans died in abortion clinics around the country. So right. 4,000 in one day as compared to 2,000 in the span of 3 or 4 years.
Right, and we use the Truth Truck to convey our method, our message, and it's a huge box truck that is just covered on four sides with pictures of aborted babies, and it makes a very strong statement, a very strong pro-life statement, and also speaks of the horrors of abortion. They rented, on the other hand, a billboard truck, which was, in my opinion, laughable.
Yeah, it was very silly. I'll describe one side. Had a picture of George W. Bush and Marilyn Musgrave, and it said, Marilyn's mentor. Now, she's not embarrassed by this. She invited the president to come and speak on her behalf. So she thinks that President Bush is her mentor. She's not ashamed of that fact. So why have that on your protest truck? That's not condemning. Now, to the anti-war people, to the liberals, of course it's condemning.
Well, Bush is a four-letter word to them, and anybody's name who comes after it is also in that kind of a bad light, but that was funny. And the other side was something to the effect of stop gay marriage so Osama won't get away, which no one understood. So
it's completely ineffective billboard truck that they had out there, and they had signs, they were carrying signs, no blood for oil, things like that. There was one guy who, I don't know if he was talked to by the Secret Service, but he had a sign that said, death to all Nazis.
Right.
So not just some of the Nazis, he wants death to all the Nazis. And of course, he thinks George W. Bush is a Nazi for liberating a country. Because Hitler did that so often, he liberated a country. No, he didn't do that. He conquered a country, took it over, and sent his troops in there to occupy and then force the citizenry to be slaves to him and help fight the battle.
I thought one of the more interesting signs was the big lime green one that had a picture of Saddam on it, and it said Free Saddam underneath it.
Yeah, well,
that was pretty interesting.
But it's consistent with their thought. They think that it was wrong of us, immoral of us, to invade Iraq. It was a sovereign country, wasn't doing us any harm. We were going through the weapons of mass destruction investigations and inspections, things like that, and we were wrong in invading that country.
And that day, you wouldn't let me put my window down because when the liberals would get angry, they were screaming at us, and it's just spit was flying everywhere, and you made me keep the spit shields up.
Well, I wasn't so concerned about the spit, but when they have a cup of coffee or
yeah,
a
that's
Pepsi,
true.
When they get so frustrated, they cannot debate honestly in an arena of ideas. And so they get so frustrated, and of course we know this from protesting all these years, they'll kick your sign, they'll break your sign, they'll punch you in the face, they'll throw things at you. We were down at the
Or if you're Jason, the girls will beat you up.
For some reason, girls beat me up. I don't know what it is. Guys are a little intimidated by me, but girls have no fear of me whatsoever. I had spark plugs thrown at me at the Pepsi Center a few months ago when we were down there. So liberals throw things because they can't throw out ideas that make any sense at all.
That's true. That's true. I just wanted to get a little bit in on that because it was a real interesting protest, and we did have a huge effect because no one missed us.
Oh, absolutely.
And our message was extremely clear, and they all got it, which was kind of fun.
Yeah, and so we drove around for, what, an hour or 2 hours as they were outside of the Brown Palace waiting for the president to show up. And the truth truck is a very effective tool because it cannot be ignored. And those the little piddly signs that they had, and if you ever do any protesting, make your letters big and do a simple message. Don't have the text of the U.S. Constitution on a protest sign. Just for those of you out there in Radio Land who ever want to do any protesting, make it four words, something like that.
Big letters,
big
visible.
Exactly.
Lower and uppercase letters.
And liberals haven't caught on to that, so we're glad. So
I have something that's been really a concern of mine in the last week or so. It's just I cannot believe that this face transplant article hasn't gotten more attention for ethical reasons.
And you mentioned that to me earlier today, and so I looked it up online and just did a Google search. And so what were the ethical concerns were you thinking about? Now, the ethical concerns I read in an article was they didn't try to reconstruct the face. They just went right for the transplant. Was that the ethical concern you were worried about?
Not mine. Theirs, yes. I mean, there's a lot of writing on that. Yeah.
Okay. So the other ethical concern was they did the stem cell transfer at the same time as the facial transfer to try to stop the rejection of the skin. Is that the ethical concern you were?
That's one of theirs, but it's not one of mine. I mean, I understand they're all up in arms because they did two procedures at once, and we won't know why the procedure succeeded or failed. So, but that's not an ethical concern.
I agree. So is the ethical concern, the other one that they mentioned in this article that I read, was the recipient was suicidal. Now, of course, the doctors deny that, but it is said that she might not take the medicine, and so therefore the skin might be rejected because of that. Is that the ethical concern?
Not mine.
Oh.
That's not mine. Did you read about any others?
All right. There was one other one they mentioned that the procedure was stolen from a fellow surgeon. And so this the surgeon who actually did the procedure wanted notoriety. He didn't do the research, and he just came in and swooped in and stole the procedure and got the notoriety. Was that the ethical concern?
No, not mine. Mine is that they took the face from a brain-dead woman, not a dead woman. A brain-dead woman. They took her face. They didn't have permission from her to take her face.
She's just lying on the bed, and they're going to harvest her face.
They took her nose, her lips, and her chin off of this woman. And nobody raised an eyebrow. No one. Not anywhere that I looked all over the place, because this really upset me that this happened. So I was all over the internet looking for what's going on. And guess what I found out about France?
What's that?
I mean, even ask. I know. If you're buying wine from France after this, you never will again.
Did they surrender recently? What's going on with France?
Brain-dead patients in France are presumed to be organ donors.
Wow.
Just presumed, unless they've left a written directive not to take their face or not to take their organs. They have to specifically say, I don't want to be harvested, in order not to be harvested in France. So if you're 18 and you're in a car accident and someone declares you brain, how many 18-year-olds do you know think of doing stuff like that?
None.
None. So
what we learned from this is that Terri Schiavo was a waste. We could have harvested her while she was still alive and incubating keeping fresh the tissue. So why bother starving her? We can learn from the French, and let's just harvest her up. Let's just dissect her while she's laying there in the hospice dying. And then once we've gutted her completely like a fish, then we'll just leave
whatever's
left.
Just pull the plug.
Yeah.
Pull the plug then. Well, this poor woman, they're saying that they did get permission from this woman's family to make absolutely sure that she hadn't left a written directive. But
just like they got permission from Terry's husband,
right,
to kill Terry, sure,
right. But the thing is, the only reason they did it is because they were worried that what if this woman has her face, placed on another woman's face and she's recognizable. That would be a very delicate situation. So they wanted to make sure that the donors were okay, the donor's family were okay with this horrific thing that they've done. I mean, this is like, here comes
Frankenstein. Somebody needs to invade France. It hasn't happened in quite a few years. Somebody needs to take over France and...
it's just like
so
monsters
corrupt.
Have invaded them. That's in France, but no one in the United States. I've looked on everywhere I can to find out if anyone has said, hey, what's going on here? And is that really ethical that you can be alive? And it said that the face, they even admit that the face had to come from, it said the transplant would have to come from a beating heart donor. So it says, so the example this doctor gives is, so say your sister was in intensive care. You'd have to agree to allow their face to be removed before the ventilator was switched off. This is crazy. And then you can, like, Terry Schiavo wasn't brain dead. None of us believe that.
Yeah.
How many more people, you know, you see something you need in a patient for another patient that's going to bring you a ton of money and glory, notoriety, all that. Who's safe?
Yeah.
Who's safe? I mean, you could be declared brain dead, Jason, because you're a Christian.
That's right. And I'm a conservative, and so therefore he's obviously not thinking. So, and of course we're saying that tongue in cheek, but how long is it going to take before they say, well, this person has multiple sclerosis and doesn't have a good quality of life, and so therefore we're going to put that person down like a dog, but instead of just killing the person outright, that person can benefit society. That person has been such a drain on society for the 18 years that she's been living with multiple sclerosis, so she should give something back to the society that's given so much to her. You can just hear it as clear as a bell coming down the road.
Oh, yeah. I was shocked when I read that you're presumed organ donor if you're brain dead and declared brain dead. I mean, who knows what their definition of brain dead is.
And
I
so
mean,
we don't look to medicine at all for ethics, because the American Medical Association in America says abortion is fine. In fact, the ACOG, the American it's the American Center for OBGYNs, that kind of thing. They wanted to put a statement in their decree that if a doctor will not perform an abortion, he must refer that girl to someone who will give her an abortion.
Yeah.
So that's the medical ethics that we're dealing with. So, of course, we don't look to medicine for our ethics. So where should we look? We should look to the Bible and we should look to the church. But the church has ethical problems all over the place.
Oh, funny you should mention that, Jason. Unbelievable. That was great. Unbelievable, Jason. Today's newspaper, the Denver Post, there's a huge ad in it. It says Methodist.
Just so the audience knows, I don't read the Denver Post because I'm a Christian. So.
Oh.
But go ahead. If you want to admit that you read the Denver Post today, you don't subscribe to it, do you?
No. Okay. I actually got a telephone call telling me, Joe, you've got to see this. So I went and got the Denver Post from my father-in-law. So sort of read it. And when he goes through it every day and tells me anything that he thinks I want to know about.
Okay.
But this is a picture. It's third of a page ad, and you see a black man praying and all these different people smiling in little side boxes around his face, and this is what
and so it's a picture of a poster reduced in size along with text to the side of that, right?
Yeah, it says, I believe no one who asks for help should be turned away.
Great.
Well, so do we. I believe the church isn't a building. So do we.
Yeah.
I believe that when you truly embrace diversity, you embrace God.
You lost me with that one.
And me too. Okay, so there is a list of 124 reverends. They're all called reverends. They've signed this proclamation, and they're very upset about a decision made in Virginia to disallow a homosexual man to continue in a Methodist, a United Methodist Church. Mm. So the reverends in this area, in the Rocky Mountain area, have just, they're up in arms. And this is what they said. As a United Methodist clergy serving the spiritual leaders in the Rocky Mountain Conference, we stand in public opposition to judicial council rulings of the United Methodist Church giving a clergy person in Virginia the authority to deny church membership to an individual based on sexual identity. We proclaim our vigorous disagreement with this act of injustice by the highest judicial body of our denomination. The United Methodist Church is committed to inclusiveness, and inclusiveness denies every semblance of discrimination. The vision of hospitality of our church is open hearts, open mind, open doors, and I suggest closed Bible. Unbelievable. Well,
they can't have an open Bible because there's no Bibles in the United Methodist Church.
Oh, that's true.
They could probably scrounge one up from somewhere. It's probably underneath a pew trying to level it out so that it doesn't lean to one side or the other. But it mentioned injustice in there, that this proclamation was unjust. Aren't they judging? I thought Christians weren't supposed to judge. And, of course, we believe that you should judge and make a righteous judgment. But, of course, the liberals who wrote that, of course, do not believe that you should judge.
No, and they can't judge. And they include everyone but us. But you know what? One of the people that signed it, mm-hmm. Guess who it is? It's the president or the acting president of Iliff School of Theology, Philip Wagaman. Surprise, surprise. He's just everywhere now, since he's come to Colorado.
Now, he was Bill Clinton's former pastor, right?
Yeah.
At Foundry United Methodist Church in Washington, D.C. Now, let's pull up the article again, the advertisement. Now, this is a church group
right.
condemning another church group for making some kind of a moral stand. So What scripture references do they use in this ad to condemn the other Christian groups? Because when we go and we condemn Wagaman, we use scripture and we say, you know, this, this, and this. Or if we go to a church, we bring up scripture and we say, the Bible says this, you should adhere to these teachings of the Bible.
Right.
So what do the liberals use as a Bible verse?
Thou shalt embrace diversity. None. Of course, none. Absolutely not.
I've listened to Bob Inyart Live long enough to know that diversity is not in the Bible. We've done word searches, and I don't think in any translation of the Bible there's the word diversity.
Don't say that, Jason. You never know. Today they might have come out with a new one.
It's probably
this Rocky Mountain region of the United Methodist Church,
mm-hmm.
It's 124 of them signed this proclamation, and the entire Rocky Mountain Conference, it consists of 300 clergy members and 263 churches. So that's a pretty good showing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Out of 263 churches. So what do you think? We're going to slide to the conservative side with the United Methodists? I don't.
Well, you're certainly not going to find ethics and morality in the United Methodist Church. So,
right, and their motto at the United Methodist Church is open hearts, open minds, open doors, like I read earlier. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Open to anything but the truth.
Yeah, we should go visit Philip Wagaman. Is he having an event anytime coming up? Then we can go.
Well,
visit
we
him.
Know of one in January that we're going to visit, yeah.
Okay. Can we take the truth truck?
Oh, yes.
All right.
Absolutely, we're taking the truth truck. And Wagaman is making some general statements here, and he says, even the Bible Belt is generally negative. He said, I heard of only a handful of people who are supporting the Judicial Council's decision. What do you want to bet?
Well, and of course, when I talk to my friends and my colleagues and we talk about liberals, I'm not friends with liberals, so therefore that's not in my sphere of influence. And when he says that people are really, they don't like this ruling, whatever, he's talking to his friends. He's talking to the 124 people that signed this petition, this thing. So of course he's going to say, well, I don't know anybody that that supports this. And the liberals, I think Maureen Dowd in the New York Times, when Bush got elected, she goes, I don't know how he got elected. I don't know anybody that voted for Bush.
Well, surprise, surprise.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, Wagaman and Brown, this other reverend that is heading up this opposition to the ruling, they're trying to throw their weight on the issue so that it will come up again in April and be voted on again in April, and the judicial findings will be overruled. Well, we'll see. We'll just see. Now, Jason, there's something else in the Denver Post today. Once I got it, I had to read it, you know.
You don't want to waste that 50 cents.
No. There's a huge half-page ad, at least. A little more. Yeah. It goes from the fold all the way to the bottom and about 2-3 inches above the fold. There's a picture of Salazar in the center of it, and it says...
Now, this is Ken Salazar, first-term senator from Colorado.
Right.
Yeah.
It says, America deserves better than what we got here. And then there's Salazar. Did we put this in here?
No, I didn't. Nobody came to me for any money, so I don't think we did it.
No, but here it's using...
Well, we'll continue on. We'll see if it's any good.
Okay. It says, that's a disrespectful thing to say, isn't it? We certainly wouldn't say that about junior senator from Colorado, but that's exactly what Senator Salazar said about Samuel Alito, the nominee for the Supreme Court. This ad is put out by Dobson.
Ah.
Focus on the family action arm of it.
Yeah.
So... You know, we did an ad like this.
Salazar and Dobson are real friends, right?
No. He called Dobson last year the Antichrist of the world. So I know they're not friends, but it's just interesting. You know, Dobson usually takes a little more conservative, a little more sophisticated, a little more
subtle
approach to his ads and his dealing with. But he's really going after Dobson, and it looks like he might have gotten a couple of pointers from us.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far. I mean, it still is an ad for Alito, right?
You're right.
So he's not paying that close of attention. But Bob...
No, they really were pushing Alito in this ad.
Yeah. Now, and of course, we're trying to work with Dobson. Bob's latest DVD, Focus on the Strategy, is selling very, very well, and we're selling it at a very low cost so that we can get the information out there.
Right.
And Bob and one of the elders of our church, Denver Bible Church, went down to Colorado Springs last Friday and had a meeting with a lawyer from Focus on the Family. This lawyer from Focus on the Family is trying to get Dobson
to pay attention.
And trying to get the DVD into Dobson's hands.
Right.
And so, of course, we're praying that he has an opportunity to do that. And not only that, but that Dobson will look at the information and consider it and possibly change his behavior.
Well, absorb it at least. He has to understand it. I think if Dobson himself sat down, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't have much hope for the others, but maybe this time.
There's so many politicians. I remember that you and I and Ken and several other pro-lifers were out in Salt Lake City, Utah for the Winter Olympics in 2002. And a group of us went to the mayor of Salt Lake City's office to talk about the safe sex packets that the American Red Cross, along with, which of course was a Christian organization, I don't know about right now, since they were handing out safe sex packets at the Winter Olympics, but they were handing them out in coordination with the city of Salt Lake City.
And Planned Parenthood.
So they had tents set up along the routes that people go to and fro to the events. And we had young people with us, and we sent, I think it was something like a 14-year-old girl, maybe a 13-year-old girl, to there to see if they could get these little packets with all kinds of adult material. And I won't describe what was in there, but there's certainly despicable adult material in there. And so the person in the tent gave them the packets easily. So we went to the mayor's office in Salt Lake City and tried to complain. Well, the person that was leading the group was almost declared it a miracle that the mayor showed up to his office.
I know.
And it was so embarrassing because he thought everything is predestined and all this. It was really sad. But it's not a miracle when the mayor shows up to the mayor's office. Now, and if it was a miracle, if God was truly leading the mayor to us and giving us the words to say, then the mayor probably would have had a change of heart, because it seems illogical to say God planned all this stuff just so that the mayor would reject us. No, maybe he did, but it doesn't seem to flow all that well. And so when we were there, we talked to him about these safe sex packets and this and that, and he was a Democrat, former ACLU attorney, who was the mayor of Salt Lake City, which you'd think is a bastion of conservative ideas, but of course a former ACLU attorney is their mayor. So it was stunning. And even when we gave him the information, he roundly rejected it. He said, I appreciate your efforts and I hear your concerns, but I'm not changing my mind.
Right.
And so not only do we want to get the information to Dobson, because if he just rejects it, then it's not going to be all that helpful. Now, of course, we're doing other things instead of just trying to get to Dobson. But we're in fact, Bob had a meeting yesterday with Gary Cass down in Florida, who is part of D. James Kennedy's ministry,
yeah,
Reclaiming America for Christ.
I tried to contact Bob today to find out what happened, and I wasn't able to get through to him, unfortunately. I wish maybe he'll come back. I think he's saving all his thunder for a Monday show. Jason, what do you think will be the effect of this ad? Well, let's go on with the ad before we answer that question. It says here the most experienced judge, they're talking about Alito, the most experienced judge to be nominated to the U.S. Supreme Court in 70 years.
So that's an amoral argument. He's been a judge a long time. He's got more experience.
Right.
So nothing to do with morality. It's just an amoral argument. Okay, next.
All right. More federal judicial experience than 105 of the 109 Supreme Court justices ever appointed in the U.S. Same answer to that one.
Yeah.
Former U.S. attorney and top prosecutor against environmental crimes.
Ooh.
Drug trafficking. Civil rights violations and organized crime.
Okay, so what is his job as a prosecutor? His job as a prosecutor is to prosecute people.
And that's what he does.
So that's not a big deal.
Highest possible rating of unanimously well-qualified from the American Bar Association.
Ooh, okay, yeah.
Okay, well, we all know where we stand on lawyers. All right, mine excluded. Twice, in case he's listening, twice unanimously confirmed to the U.S. Senate in 87 as U.S. attorney and in 1990 as a judge for the Third Circuit Court of Appeals.
Okay, great.
Okay. Argued 12 cases before the U.S. Supreme Court. Okay, so what does that say to Christians? Anything? Does it tell us who this man is in God's eyes?
No, it says that he's an experienced person. He wasn't a dog catcher. And okay, a dog catcher is not qualified to be on the Supreme Court. But is he?
Oh, we've got. Okay, so Jason.
But the thing is, if there is a dog catcher who understands right from wrong, who understands God's morality, he is far more qualified to be on the Supreme Court than Judge Alito.
I agree.
Because Judge Alito has had cases in front of him. 6 out of 7 times he's dealt with abortion. 6 out of 7 times he's voted in favor of the abortionist.
But Jay, that's what should be in this paper. That's what our Christian leaders should be telling us. That's what we should be looking for, is a man that has God's morality as his moral compass. Do we see this here? No. Christians won't even mention that.
Yeah. So we can't look to France.
Christian leaders.
We can't look to France for ethics. We can't look to the medical community for ethics. We can't look to the Senate for ethics because they confirmed Alito. Okay, great. And unfortunately, a lot of times we can't look to our Christian leaders for ethics because they compromise so often. They want to get these people into office. They think it's going to benefit them. So don't even listen to Joe and myself. Look to the Bible. Find the ethics there. God has laid out a plan of morals and the way we should behave. Look to the Bible. What's so hard about that?
Amen, brother. You got it right again. Thanks for listening, folks. Don't forget Maranatha Christian School. We'll see you tomorrow.